SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pharrell has taken over. Let's go. It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks. You and I are going to make a lot of money. It's Pharrell, coast to coast.
What is up, world? It is Keith Irizarry in for Scott, coast to coast. Glad to be with you. What an exciting day of sports. And listen, we've got a lot to get into. There are so many NFL storylines. We've got a lot of COVID talk that unfortunately we're going to have today. As is always the case, a new round of positives. Some negative, too, when we look at George Kittle. Unfortunately, going to miss about 8 weeks of action with the San Francisco 49ers, a broken foot, a fractured foot. So, terrible news for San Francisco. Got a high ankle sprain as well for Jimmy G as we continue to kind of monitor all of these situations. I'm looking forward to trade deadline day tomorrow. I'm fired up about that. I think that we're going to see a more active trade deadline than we normally see. So I'm kind of excited about that. We will dive a lot into college football today too, because this was a fun weekend. Now, Trevor Lawrence was out. We knew that. We knew all about that from last week. And DJ steps in with the very difficult last name to say. I don't even know if I want to try it, but I'm going to give it a go. So DJ Uilagalule. So I believe that's how we say it. We're going to call him DJ. That's my DJ. He had a nice first game. We'll obviously dive into that a little bit throughout the program. Cousin Sal going to join us. Adam Kaplan going to join us. Carver High is here. Mafia is here. The whole crew, as it always is. Now, as I kind of break down yesterday, the cream did rise to the top. We saw Seattle do their thing. We'll talk about them. But I think it's more important to get into this Ravens and this Steelers game. And here's why. I think we learned some things in that game. And listen, we knew coming in, that's the rivalry of all rivalries, right? Like there were the debates coming in on you know, Thursday, Friday, last week, people talking about, oh, it's better than Duke and North Carolina. It's better than this. It's better than Yankees, Red Sox. I don't know necessarily. I've never played in the game. I haven't actually covered that game on either of those fields, but I've spoken to people that have been in that game. Like when I've spoken to Bart Scott about that game, he's like, yeah, dude, that's the real deal. Like, I hate him. He hates me. It's not fake. It might change down the road, but for those, you know, 60 minutes and that week leading up, there is nothing you want more than to just destroy and demolish that opponent, which is either the Ravens or the Steelers. Now, I think one of the bigger things that we take away, and again, if you didn't see, the Steelers won the game. They're now undefeated, continue to be undefeated, only undefeated team that's out there. And I think the thing to take away from this is, did we learn something about Lamar Jackson? Now, if you know me and you follow me through my career, I'm a big Lamar Jackson fan, real good dude. When I'm on CBS Sports Network Tops, that other pregame show, we have the Heisman winner on with us the Sunday right after they win the Heisman. So they're tired or whatever. And when Lamar came in, whole family, I mean, there could not have been just a nicer, like, humble, genuine, and I'll say kid, right? So easy to root for. And that's one of the things about me too, as like a fan of sports. I want to be able to root for you. I don't necessarily need to root for your team. I want to like you, and I want to root for you. So I think that's important. And as you peel back the curtain, that's what it is, right? Like you're sitting there and you're saying, do I want to root for him? Does he have the goods? And I think Lamar Jackson does have the goods. But when I kind of crunch through the numbers and you look through these, so Lamar in the playoffs or versus Kansas City or versus Pittsburgh, 1-5 record, 53% completion percentage, 8 touchdowns, 13 turnovers, and 66.6 passer rating. And once again, we welcome in all our radio listeners now, our audience. I am Keith Irizarry filling in for Scott Pharrell all week long on Coast to Coast. And as we continue along with Lamar Jackson, so you've got the bad numbers for him against Kansas City, against the Steelers, and against playoff teams, okay? Like in the playoffs. But then the good. 17-1 otherwise against everybody else. The completion percentage soars up. His QBR soars up. 52 touchdowns, just 7 turnovers. So 7 turnovers in those 18 games, 13 against the creme de la creme. That's not good. So here's the question. Is the book out? Like, did we figure out a way to stop Lamar Jackson? And I don't know if that's true. I get more of the feeling like the best teams have the best players that can shut down that 3rd and 8 when Lamar has to use his arm. And it's going to bring along this question too, is does Jim Harbaugh need to do something different with Lamar? Is he not trusting Lamar? Is it fair that Lamar Jackson doesn't even have the greatest weapons around him? Now, Mark Andrews is good, and he's a top, you know, 5-ish tight end. But what else you got? Hollywood Brown? I mean, he's good, but he's a guy, right? And Willie Snead? I mean, where are we going? Devin Duvernay? No. The running game is good. And that's the scary part, too. If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you go, we gave up over 260 rushing yards, yet we still pulled out a win. The Steelers should have lost that game. But when it, you know, came down to the end, they got the stops, and Lamar wasn't able to get past it. One more game of note, and I know Carver High is going to hate this one, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show as well. The Buffalo Bills come away from that win over the New England Patriots. One, lucky. Two, quasi-happy. Because there's question marks about that team, and now there's obviously question marks about the Patriots as well. We are off and running. I am Keith Irizarry. It is Coast to Coast. I'm in for Scotty. Coming up next, Cousin Sal joins us. Do not go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here, coast to coast, Keith Irizarry with you in for Scott Farrell all week long, having some fun already, trying to break down what Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens are. Got some good stuff going on, and now we bring on our guest, Cousin Sal. You know him from all over the place, the Extra Points podcast co-founder, Fox Bet Live on FS1. And Sal, I got to dive into this first, and I want to start off with some good things here. Your New York Mets, we're both New York guys, your New York Mets now have a new owner in Steve Cohen. How happy are you today?
It's got to be better than the rest of the bad news we've dealt with for many, many years. You know, Cespedes just opts out on us. I have to think a guy willing to spend money, we're going to see less and less turmoil through the years. Bobby Bonilla Day won't matter as much. I'm very excited, Keith. I really am. You are too, right?
It's a glimmer of hope. I am. You know, I have so many. I mean, my mother-in-law, diehard Mets fan. Like, I kind of just want to see her get a little happiness in her life about the New York Mets. What did you think of Cohen answering tweets? Did you like that?
Yeah, I kind of like a hands-on guy like that. And by the way, I don't relate to making my mother-in-law happy at all, but I don't know. That's good for you if it works. But answer tweets, do what you can, just sign. Look, what did we learn with the Dodgers? They have a $700 million payroll. It's nice. The Royals could do it every now and then. Tampa Bay got close, but you got to spend money to make it in this league. And we've now fallen short many, many years. It's too long. It's what was it, 20 years since we met up against the Yankees in the World Series, and then 2015 against the Royals, we barely showed up. We need a team. We need to get it done. We need to bring baseball back to New York, not the evil New York, the good National League version of New York.
All right, Cousin Sal, now, unfortunately, I'm going to have to hurt your heart a little bit. How are you feeling the day after another tough game for your Cowboys?
Well, we can't keep talking about the Mets.
That's a first, right? That you want to keep talking about the Mets?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I didn't have high hopes for last night's game. I told everyone, take the Eagles and the points, give the points, take the money line. I didn't know what we were getting with DiNucci. You can't really blame him all that much. I like that he's mobile. I kind of like seeing that more than Andy Dalton, but I feel like watching the same drive over and over. it gets halted. And, you know, tackling on the other end, there's not a lot of good defense being played. Greg Zuerlein is the team's MVP. He's now given us the best field goal, which looped in and out for 60 yards. He's given us the best onside kick and the best like onside kick with a after a safety. That's all. I don't know. I can talk about the kicker. That's the only thing I could say good about this Cowboys team. I don't think they have a chance to win the division. A lot of people saying, hey, sign Cam Newton, sign Jameis Winston off the Saints. I don't think it matters. I think you have to start from fresh. And that Jerry Jones hologram they keep showing, cutting away to in the luxury box, is not a pretty sight.
I just don't feel like the Jones family is willing to go into full rebuild mode right now. Do you think they can actually do that?
No, I don't think it's possible. I think they're really stuck with, you know, look, they have Amari Cooper, they have Michael Gallup. They're not going to be able to trade either of these guys. They wouldn't trade CeeDee Lamb, but they're stuck with these contracts. I don't know what's going on with Zeke Elliott. He's all of a sudden a bad running back. I get that the offensive line isn't anywhere near what they started with 18 months ago, but just doesn't seem like he wants to play. And I frankly don't want to watch. So this works out nicely.
Well, being in New York, I mean, yesterday everyone was complaining that New Yorkers were stuck watching the Jets and Chiefs game when the Ravens right. and Steelers game was on. Speaking of that one, is there a book now in Lamar Jackson? Do you think some of the elite teams are figuring out how to either stop or slow him down?
You know what's weird? And believe me, I'm reading into the whole Pharrell being gone. That guy's still hung over from the big win, right? That's why he's out. But it's weird because I wanted to give Lamar a benefit of the doubt. Entering yesterday's game, he was 3-0 against top five defenses, you know? And I really thought they set up perfectly for that. They signed Ngakoue 2 weeks ago, said that he could pass the COVID protocol and practice and play. And I thought that it would give Big Ben trouble. That line started at 6, went down to 3. I'm like, this is a perfect spot for Baltimore. But yeah, he met his match with that Steelers defense. And maybe there is enough tape on him now to slow him down. He was the incumbent MVP. Now you get him for 50-1 to be MVP. I still think when the dust settles, he'll be there. They won't win the division, I don't think, but they'll get a 5 seed. They'll have to go to maybe Buffalo. They'll win that game and they'll be there in the latter rounds in the playoffs.
Cousin Sal, who do you like as your MVP right now then? Who are you putting your money on?
Well, I really wanted, I saw Tom Brady last week. I was like, this would be the story to do, right? As long as he keeps putting up big numbers, but it's hard to deny Russell Wilson right now. He's on pace for 59 touchdowns. I know you don't want to lay 160 halfway through the season for MVP, but on pace for 59 touchdowns, a ton of yards. Metcalf might be the best receiver in the league. And if, you know, if Russell's Seahawks go 13-3, 12-4, it's going to be hard to take it away from him. I know, boring answer, 20... but...
Yeah. No, you know what? I'm with you, though. The 26 touchdowns, the one shy of what Brady did back in 2007. He's on pace everywhere. Right. The other thing, he's just kind of fun to watch play as well. With that Seahawks team, too, if they can figure out their defensive side of things, are they a scary team come playoff time?
Yeah, I think so. And you get Jamal Adams back, and you get the kid from Cincinnati joining them on defense, and they just looked physical. I know it's weird to say that a football game is physical, but you throw Adams in there, you throw Dunlop in there on that defensive side, and all of a sudden you don't have all these heart attack games for Russell Wilson to have to drive the field with 2 minutes left to win the games. That division is tough, although I think San Francisco is kind of going away a little bit now. But yeah, that's not a team I want. They're weird because 2 weeks ago version of Seahawks could have lost in the first round of the playoffs. If we get more of what we saw yesterday, I think they're in it till late January for sure.
What are you making of this rookie class of quarterbacks? You got Joe Burrow on pace to shatter records, and then you have Justin Herbert doing things that are breaking records in his short stint as well.
It's great. Burrow dominant. I mean, I've never seen a guy under siege but so poised as I have with Joe Burrow in the first year, a quarterback, and he makes all those receivers, Boyd and Higgins from Clemson, makes all those guys better. They seem to like to play for him. The offensive line is not doing him any favors, although they protect him a little better yesterday. They could do without the false start, so he doesn't have to start first and 15 every drive. Herbert, I love watching that team. He just throws that extra pick that's going to hurt the team. I know it's a bummer being on a team that blew 4 16-point leads in a row. That's got to hurt one's psyche. But let's not forget, I think he's a better pro than he is in college. He had 23 interceptions in college. I think he's kind of figured it out. And then, you know, we didn't see much of Tua because they had such a lead. I think he only had like 93 yards passing. But that is a really, really good crop. And I don't know, is this going to be like this every year for the next 5 or 10 years? I think some of these lesser bottom dweller teams would appreciate if that's the case.
Lesser bottom, lower teams, the New York Jets, they are there. They're 0-8 right now. If you were putting money on it, are they going 0-16?
I saw the schedule. I think the thing is, it's hard for all these teams. I say this about Tampa and the Giants. Like, Tampa could, on paper, should kill the Giants, but you don't get up for every game. You also don't want to be the team that loses to the Jets. I'll have to look at that schedule a little more closely, but you know, the Dolphins aren't a definite win. All these teams that go up against them. Patriots Monday night, I think it's a 7.5-point favorite. I wouldn't count the Jets out just yet. And we'll have to see if they trade off some of their pieces in the next 24 hours. But I think they scratch out a win somewhere.
All right, last one before I let you go. Clemson, Notre Dame, as we start looking ahead to that one. No Trevor Lawrence again. How do you handicap this one?
I think it's Notre Dame. I really, you know, the kid came in there. And, you know, being a Clemson backup is not the same as being a North Dakota State backup. You're going to play most of the fourth quarter there for Clemson because Trevor Lawrence will be out. So he had some reps. He did well. It definitely takes him longer to score. We saw what they did last week against Boston College. But I think Notre Dame is kind of just like a tough-nosed team that could keep it close and upset Clemson. Right now, I know it's only Monday, but I think Notre Dame keeps that close. Ian Book and company make that a good one.
You're the man. This was a lot of fun. I know we'll talk again later on this week. And oh, by the way, I'm following you on Twitter. I'm with you. The McRib, two thumbs up, okay?
Thank you, buddy. At least two. If we had more, it'd be more than two. Yes, thank you.
There you go. There he is, the great Cousin Sal. Follow him on Twitter. It is the Cousin Sal. Joining me, Keith Irizarry, on Coast to Coast. We got a lot more to do. Continue to break down all that happened in the NFL this past week and some college football as well. Keep it locked right here and only here. Be right back.
Sports Rage with Abe Morenci.
Look at Michigan's football record over, like, let's say the last 10 years. And look at Tennessee's record over the last 10 years. That's who Michigan are, bro. They're not good.
The Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, good stuff from Cam there with a little update action there. Good stuff from Cousin Sal as well. Make sure to check that back out as we will continue rolling along throughout the day. All right, so let's dive back into the Steelers, who are now 7-0, and they beat Baltimore. Let's listen in. Head coach Mike Tomlin about that win.
I think it's important that we're truthful with ourselves, man. We did not play well today. We lack detail in a lot of areas. And when you're playing good people, man, you're going to be up against it when you don't play good. We can't allow the emotions of the moment for us to miss that fact. I am proud of these guys. I am proud of their fight. I'm proud of how they supported one another. But it's important that we don't lie to ourselves. Boy, we did not function well in a lot of ways today. Baltimore had a lot to do with that.
He's right. Baltimore had a lot to do with a lot of things in that game. Baltimore was leading 17-7. The Ravens should have won that game. The Ravens did just about everything right except for what Lamar Jackson did and turn the ball over and fumble the ball and throw the ball away to Steelers defenders. I mean, those are mistakes you can't have. And unfortunately, Lamar Jackson is still making those mistakes. I don't think they missed Mark Ingram. J.K. Dobbins was really, really good on the ground. And Gus Edwards had a few little bursts as well. They just don't seem to be in sync when Lamar has to use his arm as the key, not as the just in case. So we've seen this from other quarterbacks over the years, right? Like, there have been quarterbacks that have come into the NFL that are athletic, and you find out pretty quickly, will they make that adjustment and become like Russell Wilson? Let's use him for an example. Like, if you watch Russell Wilson play, there have been years that he's led the team in rushing. There 70 yards and you go, okay, it's because of his legs. But his legs are the secondary feature. It's his arm that gets things done. Lamar Jackson, I know he threw a boatload of touchdowns last year. We're getting into that territory, though, of... legs. And I think that's a really important thing to discuss. All right, let's bring in Carver High on this one. Carver, you watch all of these games throughout the day, gambling on all of them as well. Am I off base on this one with Lamar? Because I like Lamar and I'm rooting for Lamar, but I'm starting to worry that this is a quarterback that is a runner that plays quarterback now. Not a running back that plays quarterback, but a runner that plays quarterback.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely true, Keith. I mean, let's think about it. You knew that when he won the MVP last year, what were all these coaches do? Whenever the next hot thing in the NFL happens, these coaches at the end of January, early February, they all sit around their offices for the next 6 months. And what are they doing? They're trying to focus on stopping whatever is the hottest thing in the NFL right now. So all the defensive guys got in the lab, Keith, and they said, how do we slow down Lamar Jackson? And so far, the really good defenses, like the Steelers yesterday, they're going to force them into just running the football. And when he throws, he's going to make a couple of mistakes. This is what they do all the time. There's only one guy really the last couple of years they can slow down, right? And that's Patrick Mahomes. And that he's tough to slow down. But you take Lamar Jackson, Keith, and these defensive coordinators, they're going to find a way to do it.
Yeah, and I think it's back to the drawing board more for Harbaugh and the Ravens. They need to figure out how to, all right, so you figured my guy out. Now I'm going to figure out how to figure out your defense. You know, like it's got to be that chess game, and we need that chess game. I thought there was a good chess game going on with the Saints and the Bears, a pretty good overtime win for New Orleans. Drew Brees, I don't know how much you and Scotty talk about this, but I mean, I love the dude. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I mean, he has a noodle arm right now. I was watching the game. My 9-year-old son was like, I don't understand why his ball lobs so much.
He's finished, Keith. Let's be fair. Look, you know what he is now. He's he's going to lead the team. He's your field general, but throwing the ball more than 15 or 20 yards in the air, it's complicated for him. And I actually got a little worried yesterday because I did like the Saints, and they got down 13-3, whatever it was early to the Bears. And I'm thinking, they get down a couple of scores. It's a lot harder for Drew to actually bring teams back now. He doesn't have Thomas out there. But when you have Alvin Kamara and you can throw the short passes to Kamara, that helps cover up a lot of those things, right, Keith? That's when you have a guy like that. That is an outlet for you that you can throw swing passes and over the middle short passes. That's going to cover things up. Now, can you believe that's the first game they played outdoors all year?
That's crazy. I also, you mentioned Kamara, by the way. I think they almost need to use him more, almost find more ways to use him. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think if I were running the offense there, I'd be doing less Taysom Hill and a lot more Alvin Kamara like crazy. There's more to that game, by the way. The Javon Wims stuff was nuts. So he turned around and just like went after Gardner Johnson, tried to snatch his chain, punched him. And what we find out later is, one, we knew this, but CJ was the guy that Michael Thomas punched in practice, and CJ has had his issues with the Chicago Bears last year mocking Tariq Cohen and his height. Mm-hmm. And then in this one, poked Anthony Miller in the eye and may or may not have spit in Javon Wims' face. Now, here's my question to you, Carver, because I look at this and I know you're a father and you got to teach your child how to do things the right way. And I know we're supposed to teach our children, don't fight, walk away, be this better person, bigger person. I got to tell you, I'm going to whisper this. If a man spits in my face, I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to hold it back either.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Keith. And you find out, you knew there was something extracurricular to what was going on there, because the dude just walked up to him and just started firing away. And like, this is personal here. And it was kind of like a few weeks ago, at least, Golden Tate and Jalen Ramsey, they waited till the game was over and they had some off the field stuff that you could be like, all right, he finally found a spot to go get him. There was something a little extra there. When you hear about stuff like that, somebody spitting in somebody's face, I'm with you. Like, that's a tough spot to do it. He could have hurt his team with the penalties, things like that. He leaves the game. But there's sometimes things happen that you just got to step up and take care of business, Keith.
All right, Carver High, let's continue rolling along. Let's go to your Buffalo Bills. They got an excellent win. I say that because any win in the NFL is an excellent win. I know that we want to, and we're going to, dissect whether this was like a good win, a bad win, a whatever win. It's still a win, and you need to win games in the NFL, and the opposing team is always NFL players, all that good stuff. With that being said, as our resident Buffalo Bill fan, how do you feel about that win today?
I don't feel great, Keith. Like, look, I should feel great. Like, I got to be happy, right? I've only seen the Bill Belichick New England team lose in Buffalo. This is the third time I've seen it. They had only beaten them twice in Buffalo in the last 20 years. So this is something that I should be happy about. But I went into the game wanting more. You know, I wanted them to really step on them and say, this is our time now. We're taking over the AFC East. And it took a great play by Zimmer at the end to knock the ball out of Cam Newton. Let's be fair. They were at least tying that game. I mean, they were inside the 20 before Newton fumbles that ball. They were going for the win, and I thought they were going to win the game. But the kid made a great play, knocked the ball out. I think that right now, Keith, if you're a Bills fan, you have to be realistic. Your team is a little better. You need to take small baby steps. Winning the AFC East for the first time since 1995, if you can do that, that's a big accomplishment. Having a home playoff game, although it looks like Bills Mafia will not be in attendance for that home playoff game, still a big deal. Can you win that game? I think if it's against a team like Pittsburgh or Baltimore, it's going to be very hard for them. Maybe if Tennessee continues to falter, you can get the 3 and beat the 6 seed at home. That's more possible for them. But I think Bills fans have to have a level head about it, if you know what I mean.
I hear you. Sound courtesy of CBS. Let's hear that Cam Newton fumble.
Newton will keep it. Newton. Oh, he lost the ball. Buffalo takes over. Cam Newton coughs it up with 31 seconds left. 31 seconds away from ending this streak. The punch out by Justin Zimmer.
Again, that sound courtesy of CBS, and that was basically the way it ended. And then you hear from Cam Newton afterwards, and, you know, Cam looks like a defeated man. And I know, Carver, I know we're going to talk about, you know, potential trades later on in the show, and I don't want to give too much away. But if I'm Cam Newton, I'm almost sitting there going, as fun as this was to get an opportunity to put this uniform on for the Patriots, this legendary organization, this dominating force that's been over the last 20 years, they're not that anymore. And Cam Newton may actually have less weapons in New England than he ever had in Carolina. And he didn't have the best wide receiving corps. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin one year was his leading receiver.
No, you're absolutely right. That's saying something, that this is probably worse than anything that he ever had there. I think you're going to see after this loss yesterday, and we'll mention the trade stuff later on in the second hour, I think you're going to see a shift in philosophy from the New England Patriots here, so much so that even if they don't trade Cam Newton, let's say, I could see Jared Stidham playing in the next couple of weeks, and they're playing the Jets next week, Keith. Keep an eye on that. Bill knows that he's probably got no shot to make the playoffs now, and he knows the Jets are in line for Trevor Lawrence. I'm not saying he can get himself to the front of the line, but with two games against them this year, he might try to prevent them from getting to the front of the line. Be careful with Bill.
Dude, that was so in the back of my mind when I looked at the schedule, too. The whole game, I mean, the gamemanship there. I mean, even like, it's the whole Belichick lineage, right? Like, you look at the tree, and what did Vrabel do 2 weeks ago about getting a penalty on purpose just to buy himself some time? Yes. Belichick is a really, really smart man. I know the conversation has begun. Who was more important, Brady or Belichick? Let's put it this way. They were both very important. More NFL and some college football coming up next. Keith Irizarry in Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back Back here coast to coast, Keith Irizarry with you. So glad to be talking with all of you. I'll be with you all week long. Scott is off. Got Carver High. I got Mafia in the house as well. The whole gang is here. Ty on the boards. All right, so let's dive into some college football because it was an exciting weekend. And I'm going to talk about Ohio State and Penn State because, again, if you follow me, you know I tend to talk about my family. And I'm going to give you a little peek behind that curtain as well. My mother-in-law is Ohio State. My wife is Penn State. That's where they went to school. So we'll talk about that game in just a second. But I think it's really important to start with Clemson. And in the COVID world that we live in right now, where seemingly every day it's someone has tested positive, and sometimes it's a big name, sometimes it's not. Last week, in my feeling, it just felt bigger with Trevor Lawrence being the guy that has it. And again, I think it goes to show that, you know, COVID-19 takes no names. It doesn't matter who you are, you can get it. So Trevor Lawrence, you know, comes down with coronavirus and now can't play on Saturday. And that was Halloween. So I made sure, like, I'm like, all right, kids, we're not going trick or treating yet. We're not going out anywhere yet. I got to watch this game. I want to see how DJ looks. And here's my take on DJ was that he's got all the measurables, right? Like, dude, he's built like a brick truck. We've seen the videos, and ESPN showed it to us with Justin Fields throwing the ball. What was it, like, you know, 65 yards or 60 yards? And then DJ goes and yawns and throws the ball like 70 or 75 yards and flick of a wrist. And it was like sophomore year of high school. So we knew all that. And when you watch, first and foremost, BC coming out and just, you know, throttling the Clemson defense surprised me. Jumping out to a big lead, I didn't expect Clemson's defense to be the reason why they would struggle. And DJ comes out, little dump out passes to ETN, hands it off to Travis. They didn't want to take the kid gloves off. That's at least the way it looked, right? Like, you want to just make sure that everything works out well for DJ. And then when the game was done, we now find out, and I thought Holly Rowe did a good job trying to ask Dabo Swinney before the game, but he avoided it, about whether or not Trevor was going to be available for next Saturday against Notre Dame. And Dabo was smart. He's like, listen, I'm my men, my boys, my guys, we're focused on the game at hand. We'll think about that later. Well, afterwards, it's now Dabo Swinney talking about it.
Trevor will not be able to play. Just want to go ahead and get that out there. You know, he's doing great. You know, he Zoomed with the team last night, talked to him this morning. He feels like he could play today, so he's doing well. But obviously, there's a protocol in place, and so he will be out in time to play. But then you have the cardiac part of it that you have to kind of ramp back up. And even if he feels great and could probably go play, you know, he's not allowed to do that simply because of the protocol that's in place, and that's put in place to make sure that he can return to play safely.
Well, the over-under right now at 51.5, you just saw it there if you're watching with us. And my gut originally would have been take the under. But the way the Clemson defense played against BC, I think Notre Dame will probably find ways to score. Maybe we go over on that one. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later in the week as we get a little bit closer to that game. I thought Dabo said all the right things. And that's the scary part about this, is that the great unknown, right? Like, none of us have an answer as to when you can come back physically, when you're going to be healthy. There are the cardiac issues that some people have had. This is a young, you know, 20-year-old kid, basically, that has a bright future ahead of him in Trevor Lawrence. And I know that Trevor wants to play, and I'm sure Trevor wants to be out there with his guys. And guess what? As much as DJ wants to play, the rest of the team, I'm sure, would like to have Trevor out there as well. He's a once-in-a-lifetime talent. Trevor Lawrence has been fantastic. Trevor Lawrence is the reason why the NFL teams are going, well, I've only got one win, and it might be okay because, well, you know, we're going to get Trevor, or we have the chance to get Trevor Lawrence. But this is the smart move. If you're not going to clear the protocol, and I mean, it's not only the smart move, it's the move that unfortunately had to be made. He's just not going to be able to play. It changes the complexion of the game. It does lose a little bit of the luster. Carver High, I'll bring you in on this one again. I know you're a Notre Dame guy. I would imagine that your thoughts first as a human being are, you know, you feel bad for Trevor Lawrence, but as a Notre Dame fan, what are your thoughts?
Well, honestly, Keith, I want him to play because over the past couple of years, I've gotten too annoyed with people who, we know how it is. Half the people hate Notre Dame and the other half love them. And the people that hate them have to constantly tell you how the Irish get all the breaks and how the Irish don't play anybody and the Irish do this. And then when they finally get in the playoff, they get whacked. Yeah, so this is what it's going to be this week. The Irish are going to win some nail-biting game in South Bend. Albeit, I'm not going to have any problem with that, Keith. Believe me, I'm going to take it. But then all the conversation for the next 48 hours after is going to be, well, Trevor Lawrence didn't play, and you probably wouldn't have beat him if he did. So I kind of want him in there. But because of the way this year is set up, Keith, they're going to get a chance to play them again with Trevor Lawrence if they do beat him on Saturday because they're in the ACC this year. They qualify for the ACC title game. So Clemson's going to have a chance. No matter who loses this game, Keith, they could get a rematch in the ACC title game later on in the season.
Which I want to see. No matter who wins, I want to see that. I give me more of just goodness. I want all the goodness.
Yeah.
And let's go back to what you said there, that everyone's going to sit there and go, oh, they only won because Trevor wasn't there. I hate that.
I do, too.
I really, really hate it. You can only play who's in front of you, right? That's not – Carver High, your Notre Dame guys, they're not the reason why Trevor Lawrence isn't able to play. Like, come on, dude. If I'm Notre Dame and I win. That's it. Simple as that.
And let's also remember this. The kid DJ, and like you said, last name, very hard to say. Ukulele, we were calling him on Friday.
But I think it's Uwolongolule.
He's not some stiff off the street. This is a five-star, number one quarterback recruit. This guy was being compared to Cam Newton in high school. This is not the backup for some other Power 5 school, middle Power 5 school that isn't any good. This kid can play also, and they have Travis Etienne. They have all these weapons, a great defense. This is not going to be a fluke if Notre Dame beats Clemson on Saturday night. But part of me does want Johnny Sunshine there, Keith, just because I don't want to listen to it after the fact if they lose to him.
Oh, Johnny Sunshine. I do have hair envy, unfortunately. I do for Trevor, yeah. Let's move on to Ohio State and Penn State. Ended up being a Buckeye win, 38-25. It never really felt in doubt. Watched that game in totality. And again, it's one of those games where the rooting interest is interesting in my household between my wife and my mother-in-law. My wife went to Penn State. My mother-in-law went to Ohio State. So in my home, we root for Penn State unless they're not in the game and it's Ohio State. So then we root for Ohio State. And I've been to Penn State, Ohio State games. I've been to the Horseshoe. It's awesome. Great place to watch. That game in particular, Justin Fields is showing why, like, as good as Trevor Lawrence is, Justin Fields is insanely good as well. And it was supposed to be a whiteout day. Unfortunately, it was all the cardboard cutouts, basically, of the whiteout for Ohio State head coach Ryan Day. He said it was really important to try to hold off Penn State and try to get off to a hot and fast start early on.
You know, overall, I thought we played physical. I thought we had good energy. I thought we played tough. It wasn't clean. But our guys just kept swinging away. And, like you said, we had some adversity along the way. We just kept playing hard. I thought the D-line created a lot of disruption. And we got that big turnover late. Marcus was opportunistic on that play. Really, really big play. I thought offensively we got up to a good start. I thought we had good balance. We controlled the ball. Like that was, something that typically, for us, we try to, run a lot of plays. And, time of possession usually isn't a big deal. But I thought we did a good job controlling the ball and having good balance on offense.
The Buckeyes do get the win. Penn State falls. And the Nittany Lions, I think they're in for a struggle of a season. Also in for maybe a struggle of a season. We stay in the Big Ten. Michigan was supposed to roll Michigan State, right? Michigan State's bad. They're not a good football team anymore. New coach, new leadership, 20-point favorite Michigan. Ugh. Jim Harbaugh, how'd that home loss feel, dude?
Team is going to own this. It's congratulations to Michigan State, but we got to own the loss and come back and find out, you know, where we can improve, you know, where this is a high character team. And you know, I believe they'll do just that. And each person looking at themselves and player, coach, you know, all of us, and you know, strive to be a lot better, you know, try to find the places that we can, you know, make improvements.
I mean, I'm starting to wonder if it's time for us to discuss about Jim Harbaugh not being as elite. Like, maybe we shouldn't have crowned him so quickly. Did some good stuff, you know, at Stanford and then in the NFL. Why doesn't he ever get quarterbacks to do anything in Michigan? I think we need to at least examine that and wonder what's going on there. The AP top 25 is out. No crazy changes. We're still looking at the end all be all. I think you're looking at the top two or three teams is clearly the best. Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State. Notre Dame, your boys, Carver High right there. Rounding out, I think BYU is intriguing because they've got an excellent player in Zach Wilson. I think Indiana is a fun story. Oklahoma State can score. So you look up and down that AP top 25 and you see some good teams there. And that brings me right into this. And FanDuel has it out there now with the updated Heisman odds, the Heisman rankings, essentially. And check it out. Justin Fields is at the top of the list now at plus 150. Mac Jones is tied with him. And Trevor Lawrence has dipped now to third. Crazy. Zach Wilson right there as well. And then you kind of look down the list. And I don't think any of those other guys are going to have much of a chance. Justin Fields in two games. Let me give you his stats. 594 yards, six touchdowns, no interceptions, has a rushing touchdown. Not running as much this year as maybe last year and as many people thought. Mac Jones has taken the reins in Bama, looking good. Six games, almost 2,200 passing yards. Talking about a guy with 16 touchdowns, two interceptions, second best QBR of any QB that is qualified for that this year. And then Trevor Lawrence in his five games, he's been Trevor Lawrence, right? Just two picks. You know he's going to be uber efficient. 17 touchdowns. A little bit less than 1,900 passing yards. We got to wonder about missing two games, how that affects him. He's still going to play the same amount of games as everybody else. So I'm a little surprised that the odds went down for him. It almost feels like now you should get in, maybe throw some money on that possibly. Might be the time. And then Zach Wilson, we'll mention his name. BYU's playing great football right now. And he's playing awesome. In five games, has 2,100 yards plus, has, fourth in America in that. He's got 150 rushing yards. He can run the ball a little bit. Has seven touchdowns as well. Really quickly, Carver High, would you take any of them except for Trevor Lawrence, if I made you?
No, I would still take Trevor Lawrence, especially now at 2-1. Give me plus 200. It was minus a week ago. So, yes, I'm not going anywhere off of Trevor, Keith. That's for sure.
I think right now is the time to throw your money on Trevor Lawrence. Go under the assumption, the hope that he'll be back and that everything will be fine and that Clemson continues to be good. Want to switch gears. Coming up next, I want to dive into something I was reading about the NBA. Very interesting with their scheduling. Keep it locked right here. I'm Keith Irizarry.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So it's football season, and we get that. Keith Irizarry with you right here on Coast to Coast, in for Scott Farrell. Whole team is here, Mafia and Carver. Hi. Something that kind of like jumped out at me about the NBA right now is that we're trying to debate, right? Like, we just had this week where Danny Green, I guess it was about a week ago, Danny Green said that if games begin on December 22nd, don't expect the veterans to be there. You know, the LeBrons of the world aren't going to come back. You're going to lose them for a month. And I think that, one, I kind of get the feeling Danny Green was talking a little out of turn, but we'll throw that to the side. Two, I think this is posturing. This is the players trying to once again control their own destiny. And I don't blame them, by the way. I don't at all. I'm all for the players in all sports trying to get the most that they can, whether it's monetarily, whether it's exposure, or whether it's just what's good for them, even physically and mentally and emotionally, right? And with a lot of these teams, think about it, 22 teams went into a bubble and were away from their families for so long, maybe they don't want to jump right back in to playing. Well, the numbers that jumped out, I want to read you a few of these. So the NBA projects that they lost about $4 billion in revenue because they went bubble, right? They look forward to this season, and if they delay it further, as opposed to just December 22nd, it looks like it could be anywhere from $500 million to a $1 billion cost in revenue for them. And I know, it would be nice to have millionaire and billionaire problems, but it still is a business, and they are trying to figure this out. So as of right now, we sit at, it looks like, probably a 72-game season, probably start December 22nd, and maybe finish the NBA Finals before the Summer Olympics next July. I would believe that's the goal. Hopefully we'll have an answer maybe by the end of this week or early next week. Hour one in the books of Coast to Coast. I am Keith Irizarry. Stick with us. We will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.